Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And I wanted to preach a message this evening that I think will go hand in hand with our thoughts about revival. But in addition to that, I think it will be a blessing as we enter into this season of giving thanks and considering the things that the Lord has given to us. And so I want us to look at 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And I want us to start in verse number 6 in our Bibles tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll start in verse number 6 this evening. When I was in college, and perhaps you've had a time where you've heard me say this before, but when I was in college, one of the things that they would have us do in our ministerial seminar class down in Pensacola, they would have us memorize entire chapters. And so you would memorize it for the semester. And so you'd be assigned it at the first class of the semester, and at the end of the semester for your final exam, you could do it one of two ways. You could either write it all out, and they would grade it by words that you missed, or you were allowed to quote it to a teacher, and they were watching as you were listening as you were quoting it, and they were marking it off every word that you missed. And one of the chapters that I had to memorize when I was down at Pensacola is this chapter right here, 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Now, don't put me to the test and see how much of it I can quote now, but it was a chapter I had to memorize. And what we would do is, really, it's just as simple, and you know this from memorizing the Bible, but it's just as simple, really, as repetition, isn't it? You just repeat it, and it is repetition in memorizing. And so we would, at the start of every single class, now this class only met two times a week, but at the start of every class, we would, together as a group of ministerial seminar students, all the preacher boys that were there, we would always quote this entire chapter. And so throughout the course of the semester, besides the times that you were quoting it on your own, you would begin to memorize it just by the use of repetition. And so this was one of the chapters we had to memorize, 1 Timothy chapter number 6. But here's what I wanted to preach tonight. I wanted to preach, again, I think as we're entering into November, the month in which we give great thanks to the Lord for all the things He's done for us. And then as we're thinking about this revival as well and how important this revival is in our lives and how necessary it is for us, I think we said this morning that all of us are candidates for revival, aren't we? Every one of us would be able to say, it's kind of like that song, if you're a candidate for revival, count me, count me. We're all in on that, aren't we? We all can be counted when it comes to needing revival in our lives. And so we want this revival to be special. And I wanted to preach tonight about contentment. Contentment, a subject that we all certainly could use God's help with. And so I think we see this in this passage of Scripture right here in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And I want to give you a couple thoughts here from this chapter tonight and to be able to use a couple other verses as well. So keep your Bible nearby you as we preach about this thought that's given here in 1 Timothy chapter number 6 of contentment. And then I think you're going to find one more thing tonight. I think you're going to find that it goes along with some of the thoughts that we gave in the message this morning. You might remember we were talking about godliness this morning, and we quoted a couple of verses from 1 Timothy chapter 4. We quoted one verse in chapter 3, and then we went to chapter 4 and quoted two verses as well. We were talking about godliness when David said in verse 24 of Psalm 139, he said, "Lead me in the way everlasting." David's saying there, lead me in the everlasting way. Lead me in the way of godliness. And we talked about godliness a little bit this morning. We won't take time to go over all of that, but that went with our revival message this morning. And you know, godliness is mentioned in this chapter as well. And so let's notice what the Bible says here as we look at 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Let's start with verse number 6. It says this, but godliness with contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So there's the word contentment. That's what we want to preach about tonight. It says in verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Now, for some odd reason in my mind, my thoughts, my mind, when I read that verse, always goes to a statement that was made in the Old Testament. So I think of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, when it says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And my mind always goes to the story of Job. And you remember in the Old Testament when Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither, he said. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. But what did he say next? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I came into this world naked. That's the way I'm going to leave. I'm not going to take anything with me. You can even have it buried with you if you want, but you're not going to take it, are you? And so the same way you came in with nothing is the same way you're going to leave. And maybe we chuckle about that, but you've probably heard stories before where people literally have wanted to be buried with things. I've heard stories before where people said, hey, bury me literally with my car. And they desire things like that. Or maybe put something down there with me as you're burying me. But we're not going to take it with us, are we? And so he says in verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And by the way, another great thought with verse number 7 is this. Everything we have gained in this world, it's all because God gave it to us. So anything that we do have, it's all because of the blessings of God. It's all because he has given it to us. And then, what does he desire us to do with the things that he has blessed us with? It all belongs to him, but what does he desire us to do with it? He desires us that we would be wise stewards of it, doesn't he? So whatever it is that he has blessed you with, it's not your own. Oh, happy day in your life where you get to a place where you realize, I don't own anything at all. It's all owned by God. He gave it all to me. I just need to be a wise steward of it and use it for his honor and his glory. And so, by the way, if you get that mentality, then you'll be okay if he chooses to take it from you, won't you? If he chooses to take it from you, you'll be okay, won't you? Because it's all God's anyway. And he gets the honor and he gets the glory with it. So look at verse number 8, if you would. He says, notice the last word now in verse number 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So godliness with contentment is great gain. And if I have food and raiment, now let's pause just for a moment there in verse number 8. How many of us would be able to acknowledge, all of us would be able to acknowledge, that we have far more than just food and raiment? God says it's possible to be content with just food and raiment. If I just have food to eat and I have something to cover my body with, I have clothing, that's all that would be necessary for me to be content. Now, here's how I want to start out this message. I want to give you a definition for contentment. And I want you to consider this definition, because this definition has several parts to it. And when I give you this definition, I want you to consider, as I give you the parts of this definition, I want you to consider where you are in your heart when it comes to contentment. I want to share this definition with you. Contentment, what does it really mean? What is contentment? Consider this. Contentment is being satisfied with where God has you. Contentment is being satisfied with where God has you. If we could think tonight of the situations that each of us in an individual and a personal way are in, all of our situations would be different. The place where God has us in life right now would all be different. We think about stages of life that we're in, for various different stages of life that we're all in tonight, circumstances of life that God has us in right now. Contentment is to be satisfied with where God has you. Can I give you the next part of this definition? Along with the first part, being satisfied with where God has you. Number two, contentment is being satisfied with what God has given you. So not only to be satisfied with where God has you, where he has me, but also to be satisfied with what God has given you. And again, it goes back to the verse, he's given us far more than the Bible even says is necessary for contentment. So God has blessed us, hasn't he? He has been good to us. We can talk all night about the mercies of God and the goodness of God. We think about that song that we sing, and we'll sing it closer to Thanksgiving time. We'll sing it together as a congregation, I'm sure. But count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Think about all the blessings that we have. We make that little phrase, God is good, and he's good all the time, isn't he? We think about all the things he has blessed us with and the goodness of our God. So contentment, to be satisfied with where God has you. To be satisfied with what God has given you. Here's the third and the final part of the definition. And again, in your heart, I want you to consider where you're at when it comes to this subject of contentment. Number three, contentment is being satisfied with what God is doing for you. What God is doing for you. So number one, to be satisfied with where God has you. and then to be satisfied with what he has given you, and then to be satisfied with what he is doing for you. So if we would summarize all that and put it all together, those three definitions of contentment, we would put all of that together, the simplest way for us to describe what contentment would be is to be truly satisfied with our position in life. To be satisfied with where God has us, what he has given us, and what he is doing for us right now. So we're satisfied with our position in life. God desires that we be satisfied with where he has us. Now, would you agree with me that at times contentment is not always easy? It's not always easy to be content. As a matter of fact, we live in a world where sometimes we get to a place in which we feel like we have to have maybe perhaps something that we don't have. We have to have the newest and the best. Sometimes people refer to it as the latest and the greatest, right? And so even with the technology, oh, they know how to do it, don't they? They're always putting something new out. And so you have that new item for a little while, and then it kind of loses its glamour. And then something else new comes out in just a short period of time. And boy, I've got to have that one. Man, I've got to have the latest and the greatest. I've got to have the newest and the best. And sometimes we can get to that place. And sometimes we can become discontent when God desires for us to be content. And we can get into what would end up being really an endless cycle of wanting and wanting and then wanting more. Instead of just getting to the place where I simply say, God, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with where you have me right now. I'm satisfied with what you have given me, and I'm satisfied with what you are doing right now in my life. So let's learn to be content. I've got a couple thoughts that I want to give you tonight about contentment, and the first one comes right from the text that we read from. I want you to notice a couple truths tonight about contentment. The first one is this: contentment, number one, is an effect of godliness. Contentment is an effect of godliness. Or we could say it this way, contentment accompanies godliness. So if we're living in godliness, contentment is going to accompany that. It's going to be an effect of our godliness. Because we're living a godly life, therefore an effect of that, or what accompanies my godliness is a life of contentment. Remember what we said this morning about godliness? We were talking about godliness from Psalm 139, verse 24, where he says, "Lead me in the way everlasting." Really another way for the psalmist to say, "Lead me in the way of godliness. Lead me in the path of godliness." And we said of godliness, you might perhaps remember from this morning, I said that I'd heard a definition before of godliness simply defined this way, that God in us. Godliness is God in us. It's my desire to serve the Lord the way that I should. I heard a definition once about godliness, and I trust maybe perhaps this could encourage you. I heard once that someone said about godliness that godliness was a personal attitude toward God that results in actions that are pleasing to him. Think about that. That's a good definition of godliness, isn't it? It's a personal attitude that I have about God. I'm aware of the fact that he is real, that he loves me, that he showed to me grace, and that he showed to me mercy. So I've got a personal attitude towards God that results in actions that are pleasing to him. I want to do what pleases him. And so the Bible tells us here in 1 Timothy chapter number 6 that contentment is an effect of godliness. It's something that accompanies godliness. Look at what the Bible says again in verse 6. "But godliness with contentment is great gain." The end of verse number 8. "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." So number one, contentment is an effect, or it accompanies godliness. But there's the second thing I want you to notice tonight about godliness. About contentment. I want you to notice number two, that contentment does not depend on the circumstances of life. Contentment does not depend on the circumstances of life. So number one, we said contentment is an effect of godliness. But number two, it does not depend on the circumstances of life. Would you look with me to the book of Philippians? Philippians chapter number 4, and when you find Philippians chapter number 4, I want you to look down, if you would, at verse number 11. Philippians chapter 4, notice down to verse number 11, and I think when we read Philippians chapter 4, and we read starting in verse number 11, I think you're going to notice the thought that we just gave, that contentment does not depend on the circumstances of life. Now, somebody has given a definition before, and I'm sure you've heard it said this way. They talk about the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness depends upon the circumstances or the things that take place in our life. That's not true of joy, is it? Because there can be circumstances in our life that are absolutely out of control as far as our view. God has it in control. He has it under control. But in our view, we might think they're out of control. The circumstances of life seem to be coming at me in all different waves and different ways. But joy is not based upon our circumstances, is it? When we've trusted Jesus as our Savior, He's the giver of joy, isn't He? And we can be going through the worst of circumstances, and yet we can still have joy. You would understand this along with me. Individuals that lose a person through death, that do not know Jesus as Savior, it's tough for us as Christians to understand how they go through that. We're able to have joy in spite of the circumstances of life. By the way, we're able to be content also in spite of the circumstances of life. So no matter what you might feel is the circumstance that your life has given you, all in God's planning and God's control, we can still be content no matter what our circumstance is. Look at what Paul says here in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse number 11. He says this, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Notice verse 12. "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Verse number 13, I think this is a familiar verse to us. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Did you notice the last word of verse number 11? Paul says, therewith to be content. In whatever state I am in, I've been able to learn to be content. Now, where does Paul write this book from? Paul writes this book from prison, doesn't he? And Paul is able to say in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11, "Oh, yes, the circumstances might not be exactly as I'd like them, but yet I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Paul experienced triumph even when he was in jail. Paul was able to experience joy even in the midst of poverty, even in the midst of hunger, and he was able to always rejoice. How do we know that? Well, verses that lead up to the verse that we just read in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 11, do you remember what Philippians 4:4 says? "Rejoice in the Lord always." And he says, "And again, I say rejoice." Paul was able to rejoice. He was able to have joy no matter what he went through. So let us learn to not allow the circumstances of life to dictate our joy and contentment. Be content with whatever God has given to you, whatever authority He's put in your life. For young people that are sitting here tonight, be content with the authority that God has given you. I don't know how many times over the years of working with teenagers, I heard the statement, "Well, if you would only understand the situation I have at home, you would understand why I have a rotten attitude towards my family." That's not the way that God wants us to look at it, is He? Is it? He wants us to understand that no matter what circumstance we go through in life, we can still rejoice, we can still have joy, and we can be content with whatever circumstance He has put in our life. So let's be content with the authority that God has given to us. Let's be content with the home that He has us in. And whoever's in that home with you, let's be content with the home that God has given to us. For young people, the parents that He has given to you, the place where He has you right now in life, the things that God has done in your life in the past, and the things that He is doing right now in your life. Let's not look back to the past and say, "Well, that's the reason I can't ever be content because of something I had to go through in the past of my life." No, let's look at the circumstances that God has given to us and say that in spite of all that, or even in the midst of all the circumstances I've had to face, I can still have joy, I can still have contentment in my life. And we could say along with Paul here in a prison cell that I've learned whatever state I am therewith to be content. So be content with the things that God chooses to give you. Be content with the things that God chooses to take away. Remember, we mentioned just a minute the Old Testament Bible character of Job. Again, what Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Now, we know what happened at the end of the story of Job, don't we? How that God blessed him in a double portion of what he had had before. God understood what was happening in the life of Job. But Job came to the place in his heart where he realized, I've gone through all these circumstances. And the Bible says he still retained his integrity, didn't he? He didn't curse God. He retained his integrity and he realized God gives and God takes away. I can still have joy. I can still have contentment. I can still bless the name of the Lord. So let's be content with what he chooses to give us. Let's be content with what he chooses to take away. Let's be content with the things he chooses to withhold from us. Have you ever had God say no to you? Have you ever had God say wait to you? He may withhold something from us. He understands what's best for us, doesn't he? And so let's be content with whatever circumstance that God has us in. Let's be content with the good. Let's be content with the bad. Let's be content with that which is pleasant and that which perhaps in our life is unpleasant. Whatever your situation in life is, be grateful for what you have. Be faithful in times when perhaps you don't have as much as what you've had at other times in your life. Just learn to be faithful and learn to be content. Be grateful for the circumstances that you're in, if they're good or if they're bad. And while we go through the circumstances of life and while we learn the importance of having contentment, learn to just lean on the strength of God to do all that we do for Him, all that He has asked us to do in fullness and in hunger, in rich and in poor. Isn't that what Paul says? No matter what circumstance of life I go through, I'm going to learn to be content. So number one, we said that contentment is an effect of godliness. We said number two, that it does not depend on the circumstances of life. But then I want you to notice number three tonight. Number three, and we're going to look at another verse in the New Testament. I want you to notice number three, contentment rests in the presence and the provision of God. Our contentment rests upon God. So I realize that it's an effect of godliness. I realize that no matter what my circumstances of life are, I can still choose to be content. And then I realize that my contentment rests upon God. His presence in my life. His provision. Would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, and then I have one more text that I want you to turn to as we draw this message to a close tonight. Hebrews chapter 13. And look, if you would, down at verse number 5. I think you'll find this to be a very familiar verse, but I hope it'll be an encouragement to you as we read Hebrews 13, verse number 5. Contentment rests in the presence and the provision of God. Notice it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Notice it says this, and be content with such things as ye have. Whatever it is that God has blessed you with, be content with it. Again, it comes from God. Whatever it is, comes from God, so be content with it. And then notice what he says here. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I want you to notice a very special part of one of the words here in this verse. Look back to the very beginning of this passage. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. That little phrase there, maybe perhaps mark it in your Bible, maybe perhaps write it somewhere. That little phrase there for you and I ought to be as if we say to God, God, whatever you've given me, let it be enough. Let it be enough. If Jesus is enough, would we not then say what he has given to us, or maybe perhaps what he's choosing to take away from us is enough? God, let my contentment in you be enough. Wouldn't we say tonight that just the fact that God's presence is always with us, that's enough, isn't it? Let it be enough. Just the fact that God has given us promises all throughout his word, let that be enough. He's provided for us in so many wonderful ways. Let that be enough. Let it be enough that we have the presence and the provision and the promises of our God. But then I want you to turn to one last passage as we draw this message to a close this evening. And then I want to ask you a couple questions by way of application tonight. Would you turn to Philippians chapter 3? Again, a very familiar verse. As a matter of fact, this verse is the verse that we have chosen to be our theme verse for this past year, the year of 2021. And so we chose this theme of press on, and we took this Bible verse here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 14 to remind us of how important it is to press on. Before we read verse number 14, let's look at verse number 12. And notice what it says here in verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Notice verse number 13. Paul has said, I haven't reached yet. I haven't attained, he says. I'm certainly not a perfect individual. I'm pressing on to do what the Lord would have for me to do. God's still working on me, Paul says. I think we could all say that, right? He's still working on us. Notice what it says in verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Then he says in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I chose to finish this message with this passage for a reason. We can be content with the blessings of God, what He has blessed us with, what He has given to us, His provisions, His promises, His presence in our lives. But let's not be content with God's blessings to the point where we fail to press on to do even greater things for Him. There's a word that we could use for contentment that would describe something that God does not want us to do. He doesn't want us to just get satisfied, does He? He wants us to always say, God, I thank You for Your blessings. I'm content with them. I'm content with what You've done for me. But I don't want to get to a place where I feel like I've arrived. I don't want to get to a place where I feel like I'm just going to stop right here. But God, I realize that You want me to press on for even greater things. You want me to press on to accomplish even more for Your honor and Your glory. It is good to be content with the position that God has placed you in right now. But never get to a place where you're satisfied or you're unwilling to do better. As a matter of fact, that's our theme this year, isn't it? Press on. Don't get to a place where you say, well, I'm content, and your contentment turns into satisfaction, where you're just satisfied. But to realize I can always press on to do greater things for the Lord. I'm never wanting to be satisfied or unwilling to do better in my life. And that's where we get to the revival. The revival is going to help us. The revival is going to encourage us. Remember what we said this morning when we get to this revival? We're thinking about the revival, or the word revival and what it really means. And we said this morning that revival in a Christian's life is getting back to normal things that ought to be a part of a Christian's life. Getting back to a normal way of living as a Christian. Not to just say I'm content in a way of satisfaction. I'm just satisfied. I'm okay just here. But to press on for even greater things. As we said this morning from the psalmist's prayer, would you pray like the psalmist? Search me. Try me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, I need You to do a work in my heart. I don't want to get to a place where I'm satisfied or I'm calloused or I'm cold or I'm just content in where I'm at. I can be content with the position God's put me in, but to press on to do even greater things for Him. So tonight, by way of application, if you'd consider some questions in your heart tonight, are you at a place where you're focused more on what you don't have as opposed to what you do have? Or are you satisfied with the things that God has given you? Let's not get to a place in our life where we're always wanting the bigger and the better. The one that's a little bit more shiny than what we have. Or maybe a little newer. But to just say, God, I'm content with what You've given me. I'm satisfied with that. I'm content with that. We can become more content in our lives when we're willing to be grateful with the things that God has given to us. Take time to thank God for His blessings. I think as we approach the month of November, we consider that a lot, don't we? We take time to thank God for His blessings. Now, do we need to only do that in November? Of course, we know the answer to that. No, we don't do it just in November. But isn't it great, though, to just count the blessings that you have, the ways that God has blessed you? Oh, that's a way to be content, isn't it? To get to a place where you're just grateful. Hey, God's blessed me with this, and I'm happy with it. I'm content with it. I'm grateful for what He's given to me. In what areas of your life, I'll ask you tonight, in what areas of your life are you struggling to be content? Are there areas in your life that you may even need to surrender to the Lord tonight? Say, Lord, I'll be honest with you. In this area of my life, I'm really struggling to be content. Maybe it's in what you have. Maybe it's in something you're going through. Whatever it is in your life, you just say, it's just something I'm struggling with as far as finding contentment in that. And Lord, tonight, would you just help me to find contentment in that? May we all have a life that's described as going after the things of God and His will for our lives. May we be content with what He's given us, but we'd be willing to press on for even greater things. I'm always wanting to go forward with what He has for my life and His will for my life. I don't want to get to a place where my contentment turns into, oh, I'm just a satisfied Christian. But that God would keep working on us, keep encouraging us to do greater things for Him. Again, along with our theme, just pressing on for the Lord. So tonight, as we move to our invitation time, I know we're meeting for just a few more times before we get to our revival. We've got our Wednesday night service. We've got our Thursday night prayer meeting. Our Saturday visitation time, we'll be meeting together before the revival. But while we have time together, while we have opportunity to pray, would we spend time maybe perhaps at this invitation, considering this subject of contentment, considering the revival that's coming up, just praying and asking the Lord, search me, Lord. Lord, help me to see ways in my life or areas in my life that needs to have improvement. Maybe sin that needs to be confessed. Maybe, Lord, just to help me to be content with an area of my life where I'm struggling. And as we prepare for this special meeting as it comes, let's make sure we have prepared hearts. Let's make sure we're ready for it. And tonight, maybe there might be perhaps just something you need to pray to the Lord about tonight. Maybe you'd like to, oh, Sunday night's wonderful for this. Maybe you'd like to even leave your seat and come down to the altar. Maybe it's been a little while since you've come down to the altar and you say, I'm just going to leave my seat tonight. I'm going to come and I'm going to pray at the altar. I'm going to bow down at the altar and I'm going to pray and just earnestly seek the Lord about this revival and about this subject that we dealt with tonight in our lives. Father, I pray that you'd bless this moment of invitation. Lord, we preached this morning about searching our hearts.